Okay, so start with your questions, yeah?
Yeah, so anyone with questions can raise your hand, or you can just unmute yourself and ask. Who would like to start first?
It's always the first question, it's always the most difficult, huh?
I'm gonna start. Ajahn, my question is, there are many teachers and also monastics who you listen to their talks and they criticize other traditions, other techniques, or the Goenka technique, there's the Mahasi technique, there's Mahabua technique. Sometimes it becomes really conflicting. So I just don't understand how some techniques can be wrong and other techniques can be correct. So how to contemplate this, how to deal with these conflicting thoughts?
I mean, we can take the advice of the Lord Buddha, yeah, in the, what is it, Kalama Sutta, yeah, and said, you know, I mean, practice the way the teacher gives you. If it leads to good results, you know, then go on. If it doesn't lead to good results, you know, then you know, I mean, switch, yeah, switch the teacher, yeah. I don't like to, yeah, I mean, I don't find it, you know, very useful, you know, if you know, other teachers criticize other teachers, I mean that for me it is it's not okay, yeah. I mean it just means I'm deficient in my teaching, yeah, when I need to put other people down, criticize them. But of course, you know, there are certain techniques, you know, and there are different techniques taught by different teachers, and they can lead to the same results or they can lead to different results, yeah? So, I mean, it depends on what you want, yeah? I mean, it's the same, you know, when you go to the shop, you know, I mean, if you want this soap, you know, that helps with this, you know, and the other soap helps with that, yeah? I mean, you have to try it out and see what is comfortable for you. You understand that? I mean, yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha is our guide, yeah? So in the end, you know, we go back to what the Lord Buddha was teaching, you know, and he was teaching Anapanasati, yeah. Anapanasati, you know, meaning, you know, being aware of the breath going in and being aware of the breath going out and knowing, you know, how the breath is, yeah, at every moment. So that is Anapanasati, yeah. There's the Satipatthana Sutta, yeah. I mean, all these things are correct, yeah. I mean, we can rely on them. So if a teacher teaches this, you know, it's correct, yeah? Lumpuman was teaching Buddha, you know, and it is for some people, you know, who think a lot, you know, I mean, it is perfect, yeah? But then anything else, yeah? I don't know, yeah? You understand?
Right.
Yeah? I mean, just look for yourself. There are some things, you know, that might help, you know, specific people, you know, and it might be good for them, yeah. But overall, you know, I mean, I can only tell what I find useful, yeah. I mean, my first teacher was Mahesi Sayadaw, you know. Mahesi Sayadaw is actually not, I mean, he was really a student of the Mahasi Sayadaw, not one of his disciples, yeah. So he taught the Mahasi Sayadaw style, yeah. And that was perfectly fine. It was Anapanasati, yeah. The only thing, you know, that differed from what Lungta Mahabua was teaching was the way of walking meditation. Because they did it extremely slow and I found it very difficult, yeah. And when I came to Lungta Mahabua and then I saw how they did the walking meditation, that they did it rather fast, you know. I found it much more helpful, yeah. Okay?
So, no,
not much questions today.
Not many questions today. So, well, then start reading some of the questions who came in. Yeah. And you know, and if somebody has a question, you know, he just, you know, let you know by raising his hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So this first question is quite a long question. I have a feeling that people hate me. The hate is in a form of disgust, but it's not that I do anything disgusting. I just don't know how to act in social situations. Is it possible to accept this state? I kind of hate people for that myself and get tense whenever I encounter new social situations. I've kind of accepted that I have no worth, no likable traits. I can't look at people because if they look back at me, that's what I see, hate and disgust. Please help. I'm afraid.
What was
the same person?
I mean, it is a result of our karma, but it is also, you know, it's that this person is not clear within himself, yeah, what he is and what he does, yeah. I mean, if you're happy with yourself, yeah, if you look for, yeah, for people, I mean, it especially happens to people from the West, you know, or especially Germany as well, yeah, that people don't have any self-esteem. If people don't have any self-esteem, they look at other people, yeah, and judge, you know, their reaction that might not, or most of the time has nothing to do with them, yeah, judge them to be towards himself, yeah. I mean, he has to pick up more self-esteem. I mean, we all come to this world, yeah. We have some good within us and we have some evil within us. And we have to realize that. We have to accept it. Yeah? And then we have to look. Yeah, we have to try to remove the evil that is in our heart and replace it with some of the good. Yeah? And the more we develop our self-esteem, yeah, we know. Yeah, that doesn't mean, you know, conceit. I don't mean, you know, to develop our conceit. To develop our self-esteem, to know how we are, who we are. Yeah, I mean this is really important. Yeah, especially on the path of meditation. If you want to get rid of self, I mean you have to know self. Yeah, you have to understand who you are, what you are, what your problems are, what your good sides are, and what your bad sides are. Otherwise, you cannot get rid of it. Yeah. It's the same thing, but when I say, you know, I mean, if you want to overcome hell, you have to swim through the fires of hell. You have to know what you want to, what you want to avoid or what you want to overcome. Yeah? So, I mean, you have to have some sort of self-esteem. Yeah? If you think, you know, people look down on you, maybe it's not the cause. Maybe it's not the case. Yeah. There's a good joke, you know, in German, yeah. I mean, they're living in an apartment building, you know, and one person, wants to borrow a hammer from his neighbor, yeah. And so the first time he goes there and he isn't there, so he thinks, why isn't he here? You know, he doesn't like me, you know. The next time he sees him on the staircase, you know, and then he looks strange at him, you know, and he makes up all these stories, you know. In the end, you know, he goes to the neighbor, yeah, and then the neighbor is there, you know, and said, "You can keep your hammer." he was so fed up because he all made it up, you know, by things that had nothing to do with himself, yeah. And this is something that we have to understand, yeah. I mean, people, you know, sometimes look at us without even noticing us, yeah. And nowadays it is even more, yeah. People look at us, you know, don't even notice us because they are in thoughts, yeah. They're in thoughts far, far away, yeah. Or they are within their smartphone, yeah. Nowadays, yeah. So, I mean, look at yourself, yeah? And meditation helps you to look at yourself, accept that there's evil in our heart, accept that there's good in our heart, and then try to remove the evil, yeah? Or the bad things that are in our heart, you know, and replace them with good things, yeah? It's quite easy. It's easy said, yeah? I mean, it is painful to do. Okay? So.
Okay, next question. You mentioned possession in your last English talk. Is there a way to deal with it without having to take antipsychotic and antidepressant medication? I have a monk I communicate with and he thinks I can treat my issues with meditation. Every time I go off medication, I relax. Long ago, I saw a monk who mentioned it had to do with ghosts.
Find a monk who is knowledgeable, yeah, who is really knowledgeable about this, yeah, and then consult him. And then he might be able to... Because last time, I think I mentioned, you know, I saw, yeah, and not, there are only a few monks, you know, or a few people, you know, I mean, it can be also lay people who are able to, you know, to extract the spirit from this person, yeah. So find somebody, you know, look around, yeah. But there, I mean, be careful. There are a lot of, you know, people who pretend to be, you know, and they don't do, but normally they don't do any harm on you, yeah. Yes, it is possible, you know, to answer shortly, it is possible, you know, without medication, without antidepressant, yeah. But maybe it is not a ghost. Maybe it is, you know, maybe it's all psychic that, you know, just like adding to the last question, you know, I mean, not knowing oneself, you know, or feeling oneself, you know, being worthless, you know, I mean, we are not worthless, yeah? We wouldn't be born as a human being if we are worthless, yeah? Or if we are completely evil. There is no complete evil person, you know, in this world, yeah? He wouldn't be a human being, yeah? The completely evil people, you know, are at the moment really in hell, and they are also not completely evil because they have their good side. So when they come out of the hell, they can come back as a human being or ghost or whatever. Huh? Or even sometimes, you know, go straight to the Deva realm, to the heavenly realm. So, as I said, you know, I mean, every being, you know, no matter in what realm it is, you know, I mean, has good, you know, and has evil. Some, you know, for some, you know, there's more evil, and for some there's more good, yeah? I mean, look at yourself, find it out, yeah? And also, you know, it is necessary, you know, to get some self-esteem, yeah? I'm the biggest happiness to myself, you know, who doesn't love me, you know, it is his problem, not my problem. Yeah. I mean, that's the easiest way, yeah? I mean, if people don't love me, I cannot make them love me, yeah? I cannot make them not hate me, yeah? But I can be the biggest happiness to myself, yeah? So whatever. And if you are like this, you know, you attract automatically other people, yeah? And they all automatically like you, yeah? So you have to find, you know, to be the biggest happiness to yourself, yeah? Okay, so next question. Are there no questions from the audience? I see so many faces, huh? What is America, California doing, huh? No questions today? And Joanne, yeah, what is there? No questions? She always starts with the first question.
I think there's someone, yeah, Joanne, you can unmute yourself.
Okay, good morning from New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico.
It's 3 o'clock here now since the time change. So I have a question about my practice. I've been doing asubha, with my meditation, my imagination, looking at pictures. But I did try a couple of times looking at some videos on YouTube. So I watched an autopsy. It was pretty disturbing, so I didn't watch for long. But and this was a few months ago. And then I just kept the images in my mind, and that worked okay. Then a couple of weeks ago, I decided to watch an autopsy again. And I had this intense reaction, almost a panic attack.
Mm.
And then a feeling of desperation and terror.
Mm.
And the desperation was like, there's no way out, I'm trapped. And I didn't go into a full-blown panic attack. I calmed down. And then in the evening, I was very feeling, I was on a Zoom call with some Kalyanamitas, and I didn't talk. I was feeling very critical of them and irritated. Anyway, I went to sleep that night. I was and the next day I was okay.
Mm.
And so I've been staying away from those intense visions. But I had this thought about, since I do a lot of work, a lot of meditation, but I'm alone, and so I don't have a teacher nearby. But instances like that come up. So I've been really careful with Nisuba now and just being very light and mostly doing just pictures in my mind, working on the elements, the body being impermanent. Anyway, that was my feeling, was this was a scary experience.
It can be scary, yeah. And you have to be careful, you know, when you do this, yeah. I mean, don't be around people, yeah. Because you automatically they hate, yeah. What you produce with these asupa pictures, yeah, or asupa, you know, I mean, when you watch an autopsy, or when we watch a cremation, you know, and suddenly the hand pops up, you know, or the leg pops up, yeah, I mean, that can be quite scary. When you do this, yeah, I mean, you destroy the illusion of the kilesas that they have about the body, yeah. And if you destroy somebody's illusion, you know it from your friends, I mean, they get angry. And that's a reaction. Yeah? It's not your personal re-election. It's the reaction of the kilesas because you destroy their toy. Yeah? So be careful around people when you do it. Yeah? If you are alone, you know, or your friend, you know, is working on the same topic, you know, then it's fine. Yeah? Then you both understand. Yeah? So I always say, you know, when you do a super practice, be careful, yeah? Don't latch out on other people, because that doesn't help, yeah? What we want to do is, you know, to feel this anger, yeah? And analyze the anger, just like we analyze, you know, pain, yeah? What is, yeah, how does it feel like? You know, is it pleasant, is it unpleasant, you know? I mean, really analyze it, you know, where does it come from, yeah? I mean, we noticed in all our life, yeah, if something, you know, doesn't work out, yeah, if somebody comes, you know, says something bad to us, you know, or topples our views, yeah, I mean, we get angry, don't we? Yeah, so that is quite normal, yeah. So with this practice, we bring up this anger because we want to cross over anger and greed, yeah? Because anger and greed comes in a package, yeah? It is just like your coin, yeah? I mean, on one side, you know, you have the head, on the other side you have the tail, yeah? I mean, they cannot exist without the other, yeah? So when we learn how to deal with anger, yeah, then and see the root of it, and it is mostly in our views and our opinion, yeah? We think that this body is wonderful, yeah? I mean, even if it gets older, we still think it's wonderful and we want one, yeah? It's just like with our car, you know, we think it's a wonderful tool. So, I mean, when the car breaks down, we get another car. Hmm? Instead of looking under the hood and see all this oil and mess and things like that, yeah? And that's what we do with our super practice, you know, when we see an anatomy class, you know, or opening a cop, yeah? I mean, what the doctors learn it, you know, when they go to university. I mean, they throw up, you know, or they fall unconscious because they don't, yeah? I mean, they are confronted with something, yeah, that they don't like to see, yeah? And that is their physical reaction, yeah? Yeah? Unconscious, you know, they don't even want to know about this inside of the body, yeah? And we carry this body around all our life, yeah? And when this body dies, you know, I mean, we long for the next body, yeah? And that is the that is one of the reasons why we do this as super practice, you know, to get off, you know, what does this body give us? Yeah? What does the body give us? Yeah? What kind of pleasure? We constantly have to look after it. I mean, from the moment of birth, yeah. I mean, for 20 years, our parents look after the body, you know, and raise it, you know. And then we have to look after this body, yeah. I mean, we have to feed it, we have to house it, we have to clothe it, yeah. And we have to take medicine, yes? We have to go to the doctor. And the older we grow, you know, I mean, the more we have to go to the doctor. Just like with a car, you know, the older it gets, the more we have to go to the garage and fix it. Yeah? That is the nature of the body. And the more we understand the nature of the body, the more we get disillusioned about the body. And in the end, you know, we can overcome it and don't want a body anymore. Yeah? And that's the whole idea. Yeah? But in the beginning, yeah, I mean, learn how to investigate pain. I mean, I often teach, you know, how to investigate pain. And then, you know, I mean, use the same techniques and learn how to investigate anger. Yeah. Or you can also learn, for some people it is important. I mean, once we learn the technique of investigation, yeah, and of feelings, yeah, then we can go and investigate any kind of strong feelings. Yeah. Anger, fear, yeah. I mean, panic is fear, yeah. I mean, if you, instead, you know, of going into the panic mode, you know, you just say, there is fear. And then you can look at it. Just like when we say, there is pain. Then we can look at it and then we can analyze it, observe it, you know, and see where it's coming from. But if you say, panic, 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 then there's nothing. You're lost. Yeah? Everything is gone, you know, I mean, you don't get any value from that. But if you say, okay, there's fear, or there's anger, or there's greed, then I can look at it. What does this greed, what does this feeling do to me? Yeah, and where is it actually rooted into? Yeah, we roll back, you know, what came before? You know, what came before the panic? What came before that? Yeah, or there was some fear. What came before that? I mean, you saw a picture. What was the thought when you saw the picture that created this panic? Yeah. That is interesting to look at it, because there's something was disturbing, you know, I mean, that sent you into this fear or into this panic mode or into this anger mode or whatever, yeah. I mean, we have to look, yeah, what is the cause, you know, for this feeling to arise, yeah. And that can be any kind of feeling. It can be fear, it can be loneliness, it can be whatever, you know, whatever, yeah. It can be depression, you know, I mean, but depression is not a feeling, yeah. Depression is, you know, is an emotion, yeah. Panic is also an emotion, yeah. Fear, you know, is a feeling, it's not an emotion, yeah. But it can lead to panic, you know, or it can lead to depression, or it can lead to many things, yeah. So, I mean, the whole world, you know, I mean, we don't need any doctors, we don't need any psychologists, we don't need anything, we just need to look. And then, the moment we look and observe, we can understand. Huh? And nobody can take this understanding away from us. Yeah? Even if the whole world says, you know, your understanding is wrong, but we know it is right, you know, I mean, we know it is right. Because we have seen it with our own eyes, yeah, not with the outer eyes, yeah, not with our thoughts, you know, or not with our mind, but we have experienced it, yeah. And what we experience, you know, this is our experience, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi. I got two questions, if you don't mind. So first question, I like the lessons and like karma and things like that. But I just want to ask, like, say for my young children, like, how can I get them started? Like, for example, I went for a session before. Mm. I mean, not with your side, but another temple. So we went there, we started chanting and. It was very dry, and I feel like my children won't like it because, like, you're just chanting things that you don't understand. And, like, how should one get started, like, from day one? And is it like you have to learn Thai language? And
things like that. So, like, how would you advise someone with young children, like, how they want to start this? And second question I have is, I feel that Buddhism, like, they have been under, like, pressure. Like, for example, in Cambodia, in the past, like, during the Pol Pot regime, they view monks as lazy, not contributing to the economy, and they force them to do hard labor. And then we look at Tibet, the Communist Party army just moved in and you know, just took over the country, the Dalai Lama had to leave. So well, my question is, do you think that it's, if everybody embraces Buddhism and becomes a monk, like, humankind can't really progress, like, for example, like, you're not going to have children, and secondly, you're not going to put up arms, and you're not going to have a business, you don't have money flowing in, so you're very reliant on others, and, you know, very pushed around by others, you get what I mean, like, some other countries can just invade you, and then you don't have any means of protecting yourself, because you're just, you know, embracing monkhood and Buddhism, and I've also heard experience of foreigners, like Westerners, who become monks in Thailand, and then, you know, the Thai are very friendly. They give them food, etc. But when they go back to Europe, you know, they were standing in the streets. Westerners like don't think highly of them. They say, you know, should go and get a job. So they receive a very different perception outside of Thailand, outside of Asia. So just want to get your views on this. Like, do you think, like, you know, whether it makes sense that, you know, Buddhism is this way? Sorry if I'm a bit long-winded.
What country are you from?
I'm from Singapore.
I'm from Singapore. In Singapore, they don't have too many monks there. But now, with the second question, okay, I answer the second question, and then you have to phrase the first question again, because I completely forgot it. It is also the karma. Yeah? It's the karma of every being. Yeah? If you are a monk in Cambodia, I mean, you will be, yeah, I mean, you are born in Cambodia because of your karma. You're born in Myanmar because of your karma. You're born in Singapore because of your karma, yeah? And you become a monk, you know, also because of your karma, yeah? because of your karma, yeah? And you go to a temple because of your karma, yeah? And you find the teacher because of your karma. So, I mean, all is related to our karma, yeah? So if I go, you know, for instance, at the time of Lumphuman, a lot of monks, you know, went up to Myanmar, because at that time, you know, there was a very good, you know, very good monks, you know, and very, and very good place to practice, yeah? Or even they went to north of Cambodia, yeah? Or Cambodia, yeah? And practiced there, yeah? So, I mean, It is the karma of these people. It is the karma of the monks, yeah? It is the karma of beings, yeah? The other thing that you tripped, yeah? Yes, I mean, as a Buddhist monk, yeah? I mean, if somebody comes and kills me, yeah? I mean, of course, I try to run away for one time, or try to run away for the second time, or try to run away for the third time. And then if I see, you know, I mean, this running away doesn't help it, you know, then I get killed. I don't defend myself. But that is my personal view. I don't expect lay people to be like this, yeah? This is only, yeah? It happened to me, you know, somebody, yeah? Somebody didn't like the way the way that I walked on Pindapat. So, I mean, he grabbed my throat, you know, and pressed, you know, until I got no air, yeah? But other people helped him, you know, so I got loose, yeah? Another time, you know, somebody said, oh, I hate you so much, I'll kill you. And I said, yes, if it helps you to get rid of your anger, then go ahead and kill me, yeah? I have no stake in this, yeah? Because if you understand, you know, if you understand the whole circle, yeah, the cycle of life, birth and death and birth and death and birth and death, yeah, I mean, what's the point, yeah? You will come back, you know, if you haven't finished your job, yeah, and got out of the cycle of, 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 got out of the hamster wheel, what I normally call it, because I like it, you know, it's such a nice, such a nice simile, yeah, because you can see it, you know, running, but not going everywhere, yeah? So, I mean, you're stuck, yeah, and then sooner or later you can find a way out, you can open the door and go out, yeah. But of course, this is, you know, this is not, yeah, this is not for every monk, you know, I mean, monks are people, yeah? I mean, when a person, you know, ordains as a monk, you know, I mean, yeah, the only thing that he took on, you know, is hopefully the 227 rules. But nothing has changed with him through the ordination. Eh? So, I mean, his karma comes at him, yeah? And if he doesn't develop himself, you know, I mean, all sorts of things can happen. Yeah? So they are pushed around, yeah? Or they are not pushed around. It all depends on the karma. You understand that?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, look at Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is, I mean, at the moment it is pretty good, yeah? In Myanmar, you know, I mean, some of the monks are crazy. You know, they go and, you know, and take on weapons and kill people. I mean, that is completely out of the question. It has nothing to do with the Buddha's teaching, yeah? But Sri Lanka seems to be okay, and Thailand seems to be okay as a Buddhist country, yeah. So what was your first question about the kids or what?
Yeah, like how to get like young children interested.
You cannot force them.
Yeah, because the chanting can be a bit dry, right? I mean,
you have to look. You really have to look, yeah? First of all, the children should be at least 5 years old. Yeah? I mean, 1 or 2 years, you know, they will not, yeah? Unless they come. Secondly, you have to be the example. Yeah? You and your wife, yeah? You have to be example. Children, you know, at this age learn through example, yeah? I mean, I know quite a few parents, you know, who have young children. When they sit and meditate, you know, the children, you know, come up, you know, try to disturb them, you know, and when they see they cannot be disturbed, nah, I mean, then they sit next to the parents, you know, and start, you know, doing that. And then you can say, then you can tell them how to do it correctly, yeah? Or if they see you chanting, you know, I mean, they sit next to you and do the same thing, yeah? That's how children learn. But you cannot force them, yeah? You cannot tell them you should do this or should do that, yeah? You can invite them, okay, come to the monastery, you know, I mean, in the morning or in the evening, you know, and if they don't want to chant, you know, I mean, don't force them, yeah? Because with forcing them, you make it worse, you know, I mean, you, you create a sort of aversion in these children towards Buddhism. And you should not do that, yeah? So they should always do it on their own, on their own free will, yeah? Okay?
Thank you.
There's a question from the chat. Dear Ajahn, I recently applied for a job internally within my company. So it's an internal job in another department. I really want the job and hope to get it. How do I make aspiration to increase my chances to get the job?
You must be from Singapore. The answer is very simple, yeah? I mean, he can pray to his karma that he has a good karma to get this job, no? And leave it all up to his karma, because, I mean, it is the karma that decides, yeah? And of course, you know, also his performance, you know, within the company, yeah? If he performed very well, you know, I mean, yeah, that is a present karma, yeah? And, you know, and together with the old karma, you know, I mean, he will get the job or not, yeah? I mean, I see a lot of, you know, I mean, not only in Singapore, but also in Thailand. I mean, they pray to the Hindu gods, you know, to get, you know, to pass the exam. It doesn't help, yeah?
And then she's from Malaysia. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's the same, Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore.
one short question. Is there a benefit for us to go to India and visit the sacred sites of the Buddha?
It can be very helpful. Yeah? I mean, even a lot of monks here in Thailand go to these holy places. They tell me, you know, there's a certain kind, you know, there's a certain kind of energy that is very wholesome, yeah? So this is, yeah? I, myself, yeah? Or even Lungta Mahabho said, I've never been interested in it, yeah? And it doesn't attract me, yeah? I mean, don't follow, you know, what other people do, follow your heart, yeah? If your heart feels, you know, I want to go to these places, then go, yeah? And then, you know, sense the energy, because there is still some energy, yeah? And not only the energy of the Buddha, but all the people, you know, who come and worship the Buddha, yeah? So, I mean, this is normally considered very good energy and can be elevating to, you know, to our heart, yeah?
Okay? I think about coming, trying to, I guess, tell myself to come to Thailand. To come to the monastery, but I do feel resistance to it. Like, I'm trying to convince myself it'd be good for me to come to the monastery, but coming to Thailand is a big trip. And
you're from New Mexico.
Mexico, yeah. In the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, we have a Joanne from Canada.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, the resistance is within the kilesas, yeah? I mean, ask yourself the question, you know, when you go into meditation, when you go and when you really come, ask your heart what it wants, yeah? Not ask your mind what it wants, yeah? If the heart wants to go to Thailand, then just go, yeah? Now overcome the resistance. I mean, I had also this resistance, yeah? I didn't know anything about Thailand, I didn't know the language, I didn't know the culture, you know, but I knew I had to come. So, I mean, I came, yeah? And I don't want to leave. Yeah?
I'm afraid if I come, I won't want to leave.
Yeah, then yeah. Just stay on.
I've traveled a lot, but now I feel like because of my age, I feel a little more vulnerable.
It doesn't matter. Huh? I mean, we have older people who come here and travel here, you know, I mean, huh? They're over 70. I mean, I even had one, yeah, over 70, you know, who traveled here to Thailand, you know, she was never outside of Germany and then came to Thailand. I mean, and she liked it very much, yeah. So, but come in the time, you know, when, in the cold season, so that is, it is, right now. I mean, if you come in the hot season or in the rainy season, it is really a strain on the body. Yeah? So from November, from you know, end of October, you know, to February, I mean, or even March, you know, it depends on the weather. It is really good. Yeah? It's even for old people, it's okay, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Carlos?
Greetings, Bhante. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, greetings, Bhante. From your side?
California.
So, what's that?
California.
No, I am in Washington, near Seattle.
Oh, Washington, yeah. I mean, it's also on the East Coast, yeah.
Yeah, very cold right now, and it was 2 a.m. when I started this.
Okay.
So, Bhante, well, I want to, you probably, I don't know if you remember or not, but I've been struggling and focusing a lot on working on lust and, you know, sexual attraction and all of that.
Yeah.
And I've been using the Asubha methods, and I've been watching, you know, like the other lady, I've been watching YouTube autopsies and stuff like that. I actually, you know, at this, the Mahabho.
I can't see it, yeah. But Mahabho.
This is Lungta Mahabho's book.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know much Thai, but I still watch the images.
Yeah.
That doesn't really do it for me. For some reason, I guess I am more, I don't know, more of like a rational-minded, you know, type of person. I don't know. For me, it works more like, okay, I see this attractive lady. So okay, let's say that, you know, she would agree to have any contact with me.
Yeah.
What's the point? So,
yeah.
This is...
This
won't last. Then it will come a time when, you know, it wouldn't work, or the emotions and the good feelings of the moment will just fade away, and that will lead to other commitments that you don't need, and that stuff doesn't really satisfy your spiritual, you know, and energy, or your really that doesn't really give you anything deep, and that doesn't help you to find liberation, basically. That will just tie you more into samsara. But that seems to work better for me. Is that a good path that I'm following?
This path is completely okay, yeah? But in the end, you will have to use asupa if the sexual desire becomes stronger. And the sexual desire, yeah, is based on this imaging. So I mean, if you see attractive woman, you know, and you turn it into a skeleton, or you turn it into one of these opened up bodies, then the sexual desire for this moment is gone. It will come back instantly when you close the body, you know, and see the beauty or the attractiveness of this body. Yeah? But your logical way to get involved, you know, with a relationship or that. I mean, how many relationships did we go through, you know? How often were we disappointed? How often did I leave the woman? How often did the woman leave me? Yeah, because I was dissatisfied. And the dissatisfaction has nothing to do with the woman or the partner. It has only to do with us, yeah? Because we are, within our heart, we are dissatisfied, yeah? We are always looking for the other, yeah? For the other part of us in somebody else's, instead of looking for the other part within us, yeah? So sooner or later, you will have to do, yeah? And when you do these asupa pictures, when you look at these pictures, yeah? Then you have to tell yourself, yeah? This is how my body looks. This is how other bodies look, yeah? Get it, you know, get it. It will take some time, yeah? It will take some time until the real shock comes, yeah? Oh, yeah? And then just think about, you know, I mean, grabbing hold of a woman or of a partner, you know, who has no skin on, trying to kiss her. I mean, this completely sets you off, doesn't it?
Not yet. Okay.
You have to be more. It has to be more intrinsic. You know, you have to get it deeper into the heart. Yeah. These images. Yeah. But anyway, as long as the other thing is working, okay, go ahead with it. Yeah. As you're rationalizing working, but sooner or later it won't work. I know it from my own experience, yeah? Sooner or later it won't work, you know? I mean, you get fooled, constantly fooled by it, yeah? But anyway, in the beginning it is working. As long as it works, you know, use it, yeah? But then, you know, I mean, when it doesn't work anymore, I still want it, yeah? Then go back to the asupa, yeah? This will work. But it will take its time, yeah? It's just like meditation. We sit down the first time, you know, of course you don't get calm, or? When you remember the first time you sat down, I mean, your mind was all over the place, huh? It takes some time, you know, to learn things, huh? And this asupa is taking some time to learn things, huh? And it really works, yeah? I mean, if you look at these pictures or look at these, you know, anatomy classes, you know, I mean on YouTube or when somebody, you know, tears up a body, yeah. Or sometimes, you know, when you see sometimes on El Gore, you know, they are horrific, yeah. When they really behead some people, you know, or kill some people, you know, slice them up, yeah. If your mind is completely calm, these pictures get to you utterly and deep, yeah. If your mind is not calm, they won't get to you, yeah. Understand that?
Yes, but I understand. Anyway, for some reason, I'm not very shocked by that at all. I mean, maybe a little bit.
It takes time. Yeah. Be patient. Yeah. It takes time.
I will definitely keep it as like a tool in my,
okay,
in my toolbox. Yes, but thank you. Anyway, I've been successful in being celibate for 5 years now. But I still, you know, I'm just focusing. I just want to get the root out of it. You know? I just don't want to be bothered by it. It's very annoying.
Yes, and that is where really, when it gets annoying, you know, that's where, I mean, why did I come to Thailand? Huh? Because the teachers in Europe, you know, told me, I wanted to get rid of this as well, yeah. The teacher told me, you know, in Europe, they told me, just don't get into it, yeah. Just avoid it, yeah. And said, this is not the way, yeah. And then I came to see Lungta Mahabo and he said, no, yeah. You cannot let go of these things, you know, they're intrinsic, they are so deep down, yeah. I mean, it is one of the strongest forces. Raka Tanha, the sensual or sexual desire is so strong, yeah. I mean, last time I think I mentioned, you know, one of the monks, you know, he was overcome by sexual desire. So he put up a razor blade, you know, put it to his, yeah, to his artery, you know, and put it actually in so a little bit of blood came out. Only then, you know, was he released of this, yeah? So, I mean, it can be extremely strong, yeah? And sometimes, you know, these things, you know, work, yeah?
Also, I noticed that it comes in waves, you know?
Of course.
For a while,
yeah.
And then even I think, oh, okay, I'm doing progress and getting rid of it.
And then the next moment it comes. It's the same thing, yeah. I mean, it is also, you know, it is also promoted by our physical body, yeah. It's not only a mind thing. It comes also together with the body. The body has its cycles, you know, and some cycles are okay, you know. I mean, you don't even think about it. And then the body has some hormones coming up, you know, and then the mind is induced in thinking about it, yeah. So. Okay?
All right, thank you, Bhante.
Thanks, Carlos. Cynthia, don't go ahead.
Hi, Ajahn. It's always nice to listen to your teaching. I hope my question is not too long. I just want to know if you have any suggestion how to overcome very strong emotions against our own parents. Like, in my case, it's my own mother. Because she's a very difficult person. She's not lovable, you know. So, do you have any suggestions on that?
She is lovable, but you don't see it. I mean, every person, yeah. I mean, he can be the worst person. There is something that is lovable about this person, or that something that is amiable about this person, yeah. I mean, there is not one person. I mean, she raised you for 20 years, didn't she?
Not quite. But yeah, she did raise me at some point.
She fed you, she looked after you, she wiped your ass off, you know, and she gave you, yeah. These are things, you know, these are generous things, yeah. So we can think about the good things that she did to us, yeah. If we only think about the bad things that she did to us, you know, then of course, you know, I mean, we can't overcome, yeah. And this strong hatred, yeah, I mean, it's also the same thing. There's some hatred within you, yeah. There are some parts of you that you hate, yeah. And you project it onto your mother. Because what you see in your mother sometimes is how you are. She can be the mirror of yourself, yeah? And when she expresses it, yeah, you feel so much hate for her, yeah? Instead of looking at your own self, yeah, and removing that, and then the more you remove these things that you see in others, sometimes I say, take the world as a mirror of yourself, yeah? Whatever you see and you disagree with you is within yourself, yeah? Find it within yourself, get rid of yourself, and the more you get rid of yourself, the clearer you see the other person. And then you see, oh, you're a completely different person, yeah? So, I mean, the problem is not with your mother, the problem is with yourself. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then there are two more questions.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
May I know what is the significance of building stupas? Many monasteries are building stupas or chedis and inviting lay people to donate.
They probably have nothing else to do. They don't like to practice a stupa within them. They don't want to build a stupa within them. No, yes, for some people, yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha said, you know, for arahants it's okay to build a stupa, and for the Lord Buddha, of course, it is okay to build a stupa, and for a righteous king, it is okay to build a stupa. Yeah. The stupa is, you know, I mean, that's where you place the rest of the bones, you know, into the stupa, yeah. I mean, if it was really an arahant, you know, I mean, there's a lot of energetic around that, yeah. But most of the stupas, then, you know, that are built all over the places, you know, I mean, it's a waste of money, it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of energy. That's my personal opinion, yeah. It's the same with the Buddha Rupas, you know, I mean, they built so many statues, you know, everywhere, yeah. I mean, yes, you know, it can be, you know, it can be for some lay people, you know, the more they get into touch, they will see it, you know. Yeah? But a stupa is something different, yeah. Lots of people don't even, when they come from the West, they don't even know what a stupa is or chedi. Yeah. They don't even know the meaning of it. Yeah. Normally the meaning of it is, you know, it's like a, how do we call it, the cemetery stones, you know, at the graveyard, yeah? That's it, you know, in the West, you know. You put somebody in a grave and you put a stone on it where it's written, this person, you know, lived from this age, you know, he was a good father or a good mother. Yeah? And that is the same thing for a stupa. Okay, next question.
Next one. Since I started on the spiritual path a few years ago and started meditation, I am noticing that losing interest on the work I have to do. Would you have any advice on how to find motivation for the work other than earning money? Thank you for your wisdom. Sorry, then, so if I misunderstood your question, you can let me know. Yeah.
No, I didn't misunderstand the question. Yeah? I mean, I would say, you know, if you lose interest in the work, you know, I mean, and you have more interest in meditation, you know, then choose the path of meditation, yeah? Then become a monk or a person who lives in a monastery, yeah? And is supported by the monastery, then you don't need money. Yeah? But if you still want to live in the world, you know, I mean, then find some other kind of work, you know, I mean, where you have interest, yeah? Something, a work, you know, that has more spiritual background, yeah? That's all what I can say, yeah? Huh?
Yeah, Darren and Amit as well.
Thank you, Watson, so much for allowing me to ask a question. I'm trying to understand. I have never been to a meditation retreat or being surrounded by anybody Buddhist. So I followed this path like a decade ago by myself at home, meditating watching myself nonstop for years, turning, bringing to the breath whatever I was raising, the family, all that, you become extremely startled at the point that I could see the mind static energy, how well he projects outside when the sound is heard or that. Even while I was sleeping, I was I see the body sleeping. That was kind of a little bit, I didn't know who to ask or where to go. I was killed quite a few times, and then I practiced meditation, and I was all the senses turn off, the breath become extremely fine, and I was kind of like emerging a light that was stronger than the sun, but I couldn't tell only after I was out of it, which I was the mind was kind of like in a state of not even thoughts, just I don't know was my first thought. And after a while, it was just a sense of spacious, it's always there, a sense of being present, where is no time, it's just there. Everything happens, it just presents whatever the moving phenomenon, but it's always there, and it's very subtle and light and open and yes, but it's not conditioned by the, it's just there, Jean, it's just there. And I did when my husband, he helped, my husband passed away 2 years ago, I did stay beside him, and I see the fourth elements, how we're dissolving, and that every form, how he sees it, he comes to rising and falling. I don't know if you've ever been familiar or anything of that, you can help me with it.
I mean, all these things, you know, can happen in meditation. Yeah, I mean, they're very common. Yeah, all these things are very common. Yeah, they can happen. Yeah, but you have to go a path, you know, where you know what you're walking on. Yeah, I mean, you have to learn anapanasati to get the mind calm. Yeah, if the mind gets concentrated. Yeah, and then after that, you have to do investigation. Yeah, that is the path of sila samadhi panya. I mean, first, of course, you keep the five silas, yeah, and the five precepts, and then you learn how to train the mind to get calm. Yeah? When it can stay on an object, you know, without being distracted, you know, to another thing, yeah, for 15 or 20 minutes, yeah, then you can start to do investigation, yeah, of the body investigation, like I teach, yeah, but. Whatever you said, you know, whatever all your experience are within the realm of meditation, yeah. I mean, the bright white light, you know, it's a sign of concentration. I mean, all these things can be explained, you know, with what is happening in meditation. So, I mean, it's not unusual, yeah, nothing.
So I can just, like I'm speaking, is like that presence, it's always there beyond, behind everything is happening, that sense of present.
Yeah. You know when yes. You're speaking, yeah? But what you should try to do is, before you start speaking, get the intention, yeah? Before you start to think, get the intention that wants to think. where the thought is not yet formed, or where the speech or the speech is not yet spoken.
Yes, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I can see the rising of the thought from emptiness. The rising of the thought becomes, and I am the movement, like is in slow motion, and then the words are coming, the intention of speaking, and the words are coming. Okay. So it's right deep behind all the.
Yeah. Yes. That is okay. Yeah. Well, what you have to do then, you know, when you see that, stop that. Yeah. You don't have to think the thought. You don't have to say what you think you have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah? Just stop it and get completely calm. Yeah. Hmm? Even get to a state, you know, where the whole universe disappears. Yeah. Where there's nothing left except knowingness. Huh?
Yeah.
You see, the breath becomes very fine, and when you stay on the breath, the knowing of the breath becomes very strong, so you know every detail of the breath, even though you can't feel the breath anymore, and you feel the whole breath body, but then what is going to happen is that the breath stops, and you know that the breath stops, and then you have to jump into this knowingness, and then the whole universe disappears. Yeah? I mean, this is the first
one. Yes, when I experienced that light, that everything, including me, disappeared. Nothing left. Yeah.
The light is not the light. Yeah, it's not the light. The light, if you see it, you know, it's just a sign of concentration. It can be very disturbing. It can be extremely bright. You have to bring the light that is outside of you. You have to bring it into your heart. Okay.
Thank you, Ajahn, so much.
Where are you from?
I'm from Romania.
Romania. I thought it was Russia. I heard something. I thought it was Russia, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're safe in Romania. I mean,
I live in States for 29 years
now. Oh, you live now in the States. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, any more questions? Okay, so if there are no more questions, it's already over an hour, I mean, then we just finish, you know, and see, practice at home, get calm, leave the world outside, and don't be worried about the world, what the world is doing, what the world is thinking, Don't be interested in, what is going on in the world, you know, I mean, just look at yourself, you know, look at inside, and and practice a lot, And get calm. In this disturbing time, it is extremely important. Yeah, I mean, you see what is going on in the world. You know, Ukraine. Yeah, be it Ukraine or be it Taiwan or be it Myanmar or everywhere there is some fire going on. Yeah, and sooner or later these fires, you know, all over the world will combine into one big fire. Yeah. So the best thing for us is, you know, to stay calm. Yeah? And if we are with the heart knows what to do at every moment. Yeah? It knows what to do. Yeah, I mean, people only get into panic if they start to think what to do. Yeah, we see. Yeah, we see with the eyes. Yeah, we hear with our ears. Yeah, we don't have to think about what we see. We don't have to think about what we hear. Because that becomes defiled. Because the kilesas is taking up what we see and making something out of it. And whatever we hear or whatever we taste, the kilesas are making out of it. But if we stay with our heart, we know exactly what to do. And that is the way for us to survive really turbulent times. Yeah? Okay, so I wish you well, everyone, and I probably see some of you, you know, in December. Yeah.
Thank you, Tanajan.
And we should make it, Sani. We should make it before Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. The next session, right? Yeah.
Yeah, something like around the middle of December. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's offer respects to Tanajan together. Bye. Thank you, Ajahn. Good night.
You're welcome.